This week we're pleased to present, for the first time ever on this program, a guest appearance by a member of Pink Floyd, Nick Mason, drummer for the band. Thanks so much for talking with us. First off, let me say that I've done this show for a very long time, and I long ago resigned myself to what I thought was the fact that I would never get one of you guys from the group to join me on the show, but here you are. Also didn't think I'd ever be talking about a new Pink Floyd album, but that's happening at the same time, so it's been a good week for me. Pigs are flying somewhere, I guess. The Endless River goes back 20 years. Why don't you give us the backstory?
The starting point for it was that when we made Division Belt, we planned to do a double album. And basically what happened was we ran out of time. We got to the point where we had a tour coming up, which we were committed to, and we simply didn't have time to do the second record that we'd intended to do. So we actually had this material unsorted. So there was something like 20 hours of tape, with loads of ideas on it, most of them unfinished and needing a lot more work. So over a 20-year period, this has sort of been sifted through and the best bits picked out, and then in some cases developed, in some cases we've taken one element and then added more drums, or removed drums, or done whatever was necessary, we thought, to make them into complete pieces.
Now, this recently, you've been working on this for what, about 2 years, is that right?
Well, on and off for much longer than that. And it was probably at least 10 years ago, I think, there was a starting point.
Wow.
And it's sort of, I suppose in the last 2 years, what happened was we began to see the what we could make from it. And I think this was exacerbated by the death of Richard. And there was a realization it was really important to get some of this music actually out. And I think really, we spent a lot of time really working out whether we thought that there really was a record there, or whether it was destined to be something else. And as I say, it all really came together in the last year or so.
So how is it that you managed to keep this a secret? You're probably aware that there's an immense amount of interest in anything that you guys do.
Curiously, it was never intended to be a secret, actually. It was just we were never committed enough, I think, for a long time. And so there was no point in talking about something that maybe was never going to see the light of day.
When the news actually broke on July 5th, I gathered that was maybe unexpected and you folks weren't really ready for the news to be released.
No, because we hadn't finished working on it, I think, around then. And it's sort of, maybe it's not a bad thing sometimes to have pressure, but in some ways, I think having waited 20 years, it seemed a bit odd to suddenly have to rush at it after that. But having said that, I think it's great to have it out now and get it, you know, rather than waiting until next year, particularly as David wants to get on with the solo album and stuff like that. And so it sort of needs to be done now.
Yeah. You said that this album is really kind of a tribute to Rick Wright. How do you mean?
Well, I think we've all sort of felt that. We're not saying that is the focus of the album, but we think it's a great opportunity to recognize that Rick maybe was slightly the unsung hero of the band. He did produce this extraordinary sort of melodic approach that was so much part of our sound. And these, what's great about these tracks is a lot of them really showcase that talent of Rick's.
When Rick died in 2008, fans at least, or at least myself, was surprised. We didn't know that he was ill. I'm wondering if he shared that news with members of the band.
Yes, he did. But Rick has always been, always was a very private person. And I think the last thing he wanted was people to make make some big fuss and so on. I think he used the time he had left to the very best advantage, and enjoyed his boat and some music and so on. I think he didn't want it to turn into a big thing. Mm.
So no tour for the Endless River, correct?
I don't think so. I mean, David has said he really doesn't want to tour again, or not at the size of Pink Floyd. He definitely wants to do his solo solo project. But I also think with the absence of Rick, it's almost impossible, because if we're going to tour this music is based on playing together. And if we're missing 30% of what's necessary, I just can't see it working. And as I say, I think there's a double thing there, but it's very impractical. Plus, you would need a committed David. Now, David's made it quite clear he doesn't want to do it.
So David is working on a solo project, and he has said, I think the way he phrased it was, he plans on doing an old man's tour to promote the album. Is that something, the tour or the album, that you might participate in any way?
I don't think so. I think the problem is, as soon as I get on stage with Dave, we've got Pink Floyd sitting there. And he has asked me if I'd play on the record, which I'd absolutely love to do.
Oh, that's good.
But I think, essentially, he'd like to go and, you know, just do something a little more low-key, which is really just about his music, and not get involved in the whole sort of full-on Pink Floyd staging, films, lights, and all the rest of it.
So Roger Waters has also said that he's working on a new solo album. I wondered if you knew anything about that.
No, I don't. I mean, Roger's got about seven projects up to go at any one moment. You know, there's a load of... I think he's still got plans for a movie of The Wall. He's probably got a Broadway or West End show that he's talked about. I haven't actually hooked up with Roger on this trip, so I don't quite know where he is on all of that. But I've never known Roger when he hasn't got a number of projects on.
We were really excited over the past couple of years to get box sets for The Division Bell, Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, The Wall. And whenever we get that kind of stuff, all we want is more. So I will ask you, is there any more in the vaults?
There's no more in the vaults. You know, I think we're really fortunate in having been able to make a proper album out of The Endless River. And I would be asking a lot to find any more, you know, undiscovered material. There's almost certainly some other anthologies to do. It'd be great to do some something on the early years. It's a project I'm quite keen on, and maybe something involving more film and video material, because I think, you know, there's very little out there of us playing, you know, apart from Pink Floyd at Pompeii. If we could find something or put together something from the early years, I think that might be entertaining.
You had mentioned in an interview that there was some unreleased early stuff with, like, from the Sid Barra era. What type of stuff is that?
Oh, really very, very basic stuff, sort of demos. There's a couple of tracks that are available as bootlegs, and it might be nice to see if we could clean those up and make something more audio acceptable out of them. But there's not some casket of treasures waiting there.
You wrote a great book about Floyd about 10 years ago called Inside Out. It's got a load of information and tons of detail in there. So I'm wondering, did you take incredible notes over the last 40 years, or do you just have a great memory?
Neither. I certainly don't take copious notes, and I certainly don't have a great memory. But I think the great thing is that there are various ways of sort of teasing information out. Sometimes it's talking to other people, but sometimes it's photographs. You know, I think there's nothing like a photograph to remind you of what happened and where it was and so on.
What kind of participation, or for that matter, resistance, did you get from the other guys in the band when they knew that you were writing a book?
It was rather mixed, really, because initially we talked about trying to do something together, and then it became more and more obvious that that was never going to happen, and I was very keen to do this myself anyway. And eventually, what I agreed, really, was that I was going to write my version. This was not the definitive band version, it was my version. And consequently, they were entitled to write their own memoirs whenever they wished to. And the reactions were... Well, I have a couple of lines on this. One was to say that the book was almost universally acclaimed. And when I say that, there were two people on the planet who really weren't very fond of it. I think there were elements that they absolutely agreed with and so on, and others that, they disagreed. But neither were going to sort of stop me doing it. I mean, I think probably my approach and the way I describe things and talk about things is maybe a bit flippant for David's taste. But I tried to, as I say, what I felt I did was I put down what I thought happened. And if that's wrong, that's wrong. The other's perfectly entitled to, as I say, it would be great if they wrote their own books and we could sell them at a box set.
I agree. There was supposed to be a huge Floyd exhibit open in Milan this fall called Their Mortal Remains. I know that you participated in collecting material for that, but then it got postponed, and then apparently it's not going to open in Milan. Is it still going to happen?
It's still going to happen. The whole Milan thing was sort of heady for all sorts of complicated business reasons, I suspect. It just didn't get off the ground. But we still have all the material. We still plan to do it. Whether we'll get it back to Milan or whether we'll actually open somewhere else, I'm still not sure. But there's still enthusiasm to do it. And in fact, we've just been talking about it recently. I think 2015 you'll see it happen somewhere.
So is this the sort of thing that might open in one place but then might move around and tour?
Oh, that would definitely be the plan.
Great.
Wherever it opens, that will not be its only resting place.
So what are the odds of seeing the remaining members of Pink Floyd on stage again someday?
Very, very unlikely. But and absolutely, as I said, David's made it absolutely clear he's finished on that one. Having said that, the only thing I could envisage, I suppose, is another situation like Live 8, where there was a good enough reason to ask us to do something, you know, above and beyond just our own interests, and to do something that would make some sort of difference, you know, to a lot of other people. That I think, would be the one way that would bring us together again on stage.
So this is my last question, and it takes a little bit of a setup, so bear with me. I was reading an interview with, I think it was John Cleese from Monty Python, and he was sort of questioning whether he had spent his life doing what he should have been doing, which floored me as a fan to hear him say that he sometimes wonders if he shouldn't have gone into a more respectable field like medicine or law. So I guess my question to you is similar. You're part of a huge piece of rock history, and Pink Floyd is legendary. There will be Pink Floyd fans forever, I think, and your music will go on forever. But I'm wondering, for all of your success, if you feel satisfied, if you're happy.
Well, an interesting question. The first thing, of course, is to point out to John Cleese that whatever he's done, it must be better than being a lawyer. The second part of it, absolutely. I think I've been part of something far bigger than I could have done on my own, or in any other, essentially, in any other walk of life. If I hadn't been in the band, I was destined to go into architecture. I think I'd have enjoyed it, found it fulfilling, but it would never have been close to the adventure that I've actually experienced.
Thank you so much for talking with us. This has been great.
Okay, good.
Take care, Nick.
All right, and you.